Fantastic. A few technical problems this morning, but we go get there. It's so good to see all of you this morning. If this is your first time here, on behalf of Glasgow and Apostle myself, James, on assistant minister here, Fraser is at another dedication today, so that's why he can't be here this morning. But a massive, great big welcome to all of you. And as we say in Glasgow, welcome home. It's I hope you feel at home, and I hope and we pray that in some way, shape or form, however God connects you, you hear God's voice today. And you know the transforming power of his presence, of his love, of his grace, of his mercy. And so we're going to come and pray in a minute, but we're just going to be talking today about journeying through the darkness. And I've got about two, I'm going to ask for your grace. I've got two different trains of thoughts that I'm been processing and wrestling with all week. So we shall see, depending on where, how we go and what we feel God says, which way we go. But before we begin, shall we pray? It's a good place to start, isn't it? And so, Heavenly Father, we pray in this moment, God, would you come and dwell? As we left off with our worship, God, you are holy, you're all-powerful, you're mighty, and God, I know that you want to speak to us more than we want to connect with you. Your heart and love is for us. And so, God, I pray, Lord, may every single one of us this morning hear your voice so clearly, without a shadow of a doubt. May we know that we have encountered a true and living God. So, God, I pray, Lord, would you meet everyone where we're at? And Holy Spirit, come and speak and transform our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Journeying through the darkness. I don't know about you, but I've had some dark days sometimes. Sometimes you think, have you ever had one of those nights where you just haven't slept? Your mind's been on something, you're processing, and you feel like you're tired, and you go to bed, and as soon as your head hits the pillow, your brain decides to go, boop! And you're just like, and you're trying to look at the, you're trying to close your eyes, but then, you know, one eye opens up because you have this train of thought and go down, and, you know, next thing you know, you're off and you're on your phone because you're Googling, because you're trying to find an answer for it, you know, or whatever it may be. And then because you're up, that's made you awake, and so you're more awake. So you think, okay, I'll just go get a drink. So you go down to the kitchen or whatever, get yourself a drink, and you're more awake. And at the time, you know, you're on YouTube and you're watching videos, and next thing you know, train of thought, you know, you're far off from where you started because you think, oh, what about that? And what about, and so you're going down so many different routes, and then you find yourself, it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it's like, I just need to go to bed. You ever done that? I'm glad I'm not the only one. And sometimes we all go through stuff. Sometimes it's just it might be just a day. Sometimes it's a season. Sometimes it's a month. Sometimes it's a couple of years. Sometimes it can be, depending on what we're going through and what we're dealing with, sometimes it can seem like years, can't it, sometimes? And this is where my train of thought was going, because we can go with the Israelites were in the held captive in Egypt. 430 years, that's a long night. I tell you what, if you want a long night, 430 years, that's a long night. I would see that as a long night. Having to get up each day, graft, make bricks, do that, it starts off okay, but then you get beaten and you get all that sort of stuff, and you're just like, that is a long night. And I'm thinking, God, I hope I don't get, well, I won't live that long, but I'm thinking, God, I don't want to get into one of those long nights. But some people have had to journey through them, haven't you, haven't they? Yeah. And it's easy to, when you read a scripture, when you read a Bible story, because we come from the perspective of, we can flip through a couple of pages and we know what's going to happen at the end. We can then go, well, why didn't you do that? Of course he's not going to let you down. Of course it is. But because we're reading the story, it's easy for us to project our thoughts and opinions of, you know, I would have done this, I would have done that. But when you're traveling through the story, there's no one besides you going, okay, this is Matthew chapter 1. It's all going to be okay. And this is where we're going to go into, and when we go into Matthew chapter 2, and it's like, it's okay, Mary, I know you've had a visitation from an angel. I know you know that you're going to give birth to the Son of God, but no one told Joseph. Why did God wait so many months before saying to Joseph, it's okay? Mary's got to journey with, how do I break this to him? How, you know, is he going to believe me? And then you've got the society to deal with. That is a long night. Although God's told you something to be true and he's leading you somewhere and he's guiding you somewhere, you still have to journey through it. And when nobody else believes you, and even the one person you think, do you know what, I think I can trust them, and they start to file for a divorce, or, you know, just do it secretly, you're just like, that is a long shift. And then we know that Joseph, because we flipped up, you know, we read a few paragraphs down, he gets that visitation from the angel, says, it's okay. But they still have to do that journey. And is, we know that we can be like, it's okay, just a few more chapters, it's all going to be okay. You might lose your boy, but it's okay, he's in the temple. It's Jesus, he's not really going to muck up. You haven't really got a child who's going to create much difficulty for you. But they don't know that. I wonder how many times have we been going through seasons and periods where some people just say, you know, you just need to do this, or you just need to do that. And you're just like, how do you know? God's never told me that. Is that you, or is that God? It's a hard journeying through sometimes the darkness when God leads you somewhere and it's not quite what you expected. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? God's they're on their way, and when they reach Bethlehem, they're trying, you know, sometimes you think, oh, God's leading me to, let's try and find accommodation. And you're hoping for the 5-star hotel and you're chapping on every single door and you don't get it. And then you get the 1-star hotel with the bad reviews from Trustpilot and all that sort of stuff. It's not quite how you expected it. It wasn't quite how perhaps you envisioned it. And there's a pause, and there's a waiting, and sometimes there's a questioning. What is going on here? And you haven't got someone running alongside you saying, don't worry, we're getting into Matthew chapter 2, Luke 2, the shepherds go turn up, the magi go turn up, and you're all, it's all going to be good. There's no one doing that. You have to journey through it. There's not many people saying it's going to be okay. And so if we go to Matthew chapter 2, and Jesus is born, and it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The assembling of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. So it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what was the time of that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring word that I may too come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the children to destroy them." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." I wonder what it felt like to be in that moment for the shepherds to come and worship and go. And then a little while later, the wise men to come and give them gifts. And after that moment, the angel says, "Flee. Run." I wonder what that felt like, getting up in the middle of the night, packing what you have, the little that you have. We're quite fortunate, we've got cars, and not even having a car, just perhaps sticking stuff in bags, just sticking stuff on, carrying stuff, whether they had a donkey or not, we don't know, and just going. And just walking, because you're trying to escape someone who's after you. We know the outcome. We know that hell's not that's not going to happen. But for them, that's a tough night. That's a tough night. Can you imagine that? Walking all night, saying, "What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen?" I've shared this story before. When my daughter was being born, it hit midnight, and I heard a voice. And I heard God's voice before, and I knew it wasn't God that said, "I'm coming after them. I see them. I'm coming after them. I'm going to take them." And the room just went solid cold. The monitors and the bleeps started to change. You could see the midwife starting to look a bit more panicky. The conversation started to dry up. That was a long night. When there's no mobile phone service to let people know. And you're onlooking. And people prophesied over my daughter. People said, "This is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen." But then in that moment, when you hear something contrary to what's been told, that was a long night. I think once Poppy was born, that was the most exhausted I think I've ever been. That was a long night. But what got me through that night? What got me through that night? I think what has gotten a lot of you through different nights is that yes, we have a faith in Jesus. We know of the things that he's spoken over in our lives. We know first and foremost that we are not by ourselves. Whatever stage of the journey that you're going through, you are not by yourself. We serve a God who is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's mighty. He's strong. Everything that we see and know, he has created. He holds the world in his hands and ponders it. Not just the world, but the universe ponders it. He's outside of time. He created time. We know he is merciful. We know he is just. We know he is loving. We know he is kind. We know all of this, not just from my experiences, but we read about it and we know that God doesn't change. And so no matter what we go through, we know that we worship a God who doesn't change. And he keeps his words, he keeps his promises. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that's a promise that we can hold on to. That God hasn't just said, wound things up and gone, okay, there you go, and he's off for a party around the corner, not seeing. But God is present with us at every single moment of every single day. He journeys through us. He journeys through all of that with us. We all know the famous Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of his righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," or the darkest valley, depending on which translation you've got, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God has made promises over us. God is committed to his word. But before that, first and foremost, everything that we see, the people who we are, God's plans. You are sitting here, you are alive, not by a chance, not by a mistake, but you are intentional. Every single one of you in sitting in this room, every single person that has lived before us and will live after us, every single person is intentional. God sticks to his plan. And his plan is that he wants you to encounter him. He wants you to experience the love and the grace and the mercy and the relationship that he has, that the Father has with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he wants you and he welcomes you into that and says, "I want you to be a part of that. I want you to experience that. I want you to be a part of the family. And I am going to do it, not because you deserve it. It is a gift, but it's my gift to you because I want you to know and to experience the love that I have towards you." And whether we realize it or not, whether we believe it or not, his sole intent is to encounter you, chase after you, so you have a revelation of his love, his grace, and his mercy. So he welcomes you into his family, so you know what it is to be accepted, what it is to be forgiven from all the shame and guilt and the dirt that you have. He wants you to know what it is to have freedom, to have peace, to have joy that is abounding, to have laughter and to be set free. And all of this stuff, he wants you to know and experience. And he's committed to it. He's committed to carrying you through every single moment of every single day, empowering you with the Holy Spirit, empowering you with gifts, getting you through, lifting you up, holding you in his hand, saying, it's going to be okay, I'm working things out. The enemy might have done some bad stuff. Other people might have used their free will to do some bad stuff to you. We make stupid stuff. We make stupid decisions and do stuff to ourselves, which can cause dark nights for however long. Some of us are perhaps still working some of that stuff out because of a stupid decision that we've made. But God says, "Here, I can turn things around from good. I am committed. I am committed." He is committed. Salvation first and foremost. What does the Bible say? Oche, you wrote a song about it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. First and foremost, salvation belongs to the Lord. We are not entitled, but is a free gift to anyone and everyone. Romans 10 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no, if you do this, no, there's no, you should do that. You know, there's no loops that you have to jump through. It's simply, will you believe and call on me? Will you believe that my son died and rose again? Would you put your trust in me and would you follow me? If you do, you will be saved. You will be saved. And Psalm 33 says, Yahweh looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the places or from the place of his habitation. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who forms the heart of all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for salvation, nor does it provide escape to anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul is patient for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us as we wait for you. He watches over you every single moment of every single day. Not only that, it says this in Psalm 146, verse 9. It says, the Lord watches over the sojourners or the strangers, depending on which translation it is. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. He watches over everything. The widow and the fatherless, you are not alone. He is watching, he is guiding, he is protecting. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of Yahweh are in every place watching the evil and the good. Have you felt, where is God in all of this? You read the news, where is God in all this? He is present, he is watching, he is working behind the scenes, he is not absent. He is still on his throne, he still rules, he still has total control. There is more light than darkness in this world. There is more hope in this world than darkness, as much as the news tries to portray it the other way around. We have to look for what God is doing. Job 29. If everyone knows about a dark day, it's him, right? Oh, that I were in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. God does not just watch over us. He also watches over his word. Jeremiah 1 says, "Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And I said, 'I see a rod of an almond tree.' Then Yahweh said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to do it.'" Ezekiel 12, "For I am the Lord, I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed." Not, it might be, not possibly, it might be, no, if I feel like it, a couple of months I might do it. It says, it will be performed. It will no longer be delayed. "But in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord God." That's relevant for those times, for the nation of Israel going through those times. He declares that over the nation of Israel, but those promises there that whatever he speaks will come to pass is also applicable and relevant for us today. What he speaks over us, what he speaks into your life, what he speaks through the Bible, every single thing, every single prophecy, everything will come to pass. We're waiting for revelation to come. That will come to pass. We're in the process of waiting for that. What he says will come true. He is not a liar. He doesn't get surprised. He's not frightened. He's not unsure. He's not going, "Do I, don't I, 50-50, let's roll the dice and, you know, the highest number wins." He knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows how tough it is. He is present. What does Isaiah 55:8-11 says? "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I have sent it." Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. There are moments when sometimes we know all this, and in the daytime, we study this and we rejoice over it. When it's all going well, we celebrate it and we're going, "God is faithful, God's fantastic." But sometimes when we get to the nighttime, sometimes we can forget what we learned in the daylight. Have you found that? Not going to mention names, but for example, COVID was a big one. There's a few people on Facebook who are always, "God's doing this, God's doing that." And you looked at the profile pictures and the posts that they're saying, and you know, they'll blow anyone away. But as soon as COVID hit, that was a dark night. As soon as COVID hit, everything that was professed and claimed in the daylight, it's like, where did that all go? And you see the post change. It's like, have you forgotten what God has done in the daylight? Don't forget who God is. When you're journeying through darkness, do not forget. When Israel is fleeing, when it's about to flee from the Egyptians, can we go to a bit of a diversion? Can we go to Exodus 12? Is that okay? We could just skip. Exodus 12, it says this. The time that the people The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. That night when the angel of the Lord passed over and the Israelites sacrificed the lamb, they had the meal and they put blood on the doorframe, and that angel of death passed over. God is watching. When the Pharaoh got up and all the firstborns had passed away, and they're saying to the Israelites, just get out. We don't want you. Don't want you here. It is God who's watching, keeping watch. When they're fleeing, when they're leaving, it is God who is the pillar of cloud and the cloud and a pillar of fire. And later on, we go into chapter 13. It says when Pharaoh comes to his mind and sends the army out afterwards, it is God who is watching and tells the angels and the fire and the clouds to get behind and causes such a darkness that the Egyptians cannot find the Israelites, and the fire comes down and it lights up the night. Can you imagine that? There's such darkness behind you because God is keeping the enemy from you, and it's lit up the sky, and the waters are to the left of you and to the right of you, gone straight up almost like a wall. They've parted, and you're walking on dry land, and you're looking behind, only to a few moments, realizing that actually this is the same God who, in the past few days, has sent all these plagues and locusts, but has kept us. He is the one who's kept us. He's shown how powerful he is. He's shown how awesome he is beforehand. So I can rely walking through these waters that he is protecting me because I see it. But we know for the Israel people, it gets to another night. A few days go past and Moses has gone up the mountain and they forget what God has done in the past. How can you forget that? It's easy to say because we've all done it. I don't mean this from a judgmental perspective, but when you know that there's been a nation and they lost all their firstborns, when you know and you've seen all the plagues, when you've walked through a sea when there should be water, and you'll go on a journey, how can you forget what's gone past? And we project, don't we? And we say, oh, we wouldn't forget, but sometimes we do, don't we? The doubt comes in, the enemy comes in and creeps in. But I want to say, don't forget in the night, and don't let the enemy steal in the night what God has revealed to you and spoken to you and shown you in the daytime. But there's also, notes muddled up, there's also the verse, and off the top of my head I can't find it here, but it also says, there's that Bible verse that says, I think it might be Matthew 10, it says, what you have learned, what has happened at night, what you've learned at night, speak in the day. So when you go through hard times at night, when you've learned stuff, when your faith has grown, when your trust has grown in God, when you look back and you see God was there, he was working, the stuff that you've learned, God then turns around and says, when you come out of the darkness, when you realize that I've guided you, when you realize that I've brought you to a place, don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with others. Share, this is how God helped me, this is how God worked in me. Come out rejoicing and giving hope to other people. Remember what God teaches you in the daytime when you're going through the night. Trust in him. Do you ever read something in the Bible and although you've clocked it, you haven't really clocked it? I've read this a few times and I was like, yeah, but I don't know if it was like God this week just, because I was perhaps talking about it and thinking, it just like jumped out. And We talk about Psalm 23. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And from a David perspective, we know that there's some valleys around Jerusalem that, you know, that can be called almost like seen as the valley of the shadow of death. But I was reading something and it just jumped out, because there's two tribes of Israel, and the two tribes, the land that they occupy was known at that time to be the shadow of death. And there are two tribes in the north, and it was Zebulun and Naphtali. Just murdered those names, didn't I? I did not do that well. Anyway, and they were called the shadow of death. They're living in that time. And the reason why those regions were called that was because Israel had been conquered so many times. So many times. And the main port of access for invasion would be from the north, direct down. And so if there was an invasion, the first people to be invaded, killed, taken off into exile were normally the top regions. And so these regions wasn't really seen as, you know, really great real estate. It was a hard place. It's a tough place to live. There's that constant fear of what army is going to come in next. And it's interesting that Isaiah says in Isaiah 9, says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on either side of the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the land of the shadow of death, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations. You shall make great their gladness. You will be glad in your presence and with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall shatter the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their taskmaster, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the rumbling of battle and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to his increase of his governance or his peace on the throne of David and over the kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will accomplish this." Because normally at Christmas we just take the bottom part, don't we? And it reminds me, and then we go to Matthew chapter 4, and it says, "Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus, he withdrew into Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And so that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them will them a light was dawned." The life. It's okay. It's okay. I'm just saying. I'm not meaning to cause embarrassment by anything. But the children, they're not causing me any disturbance. It's okay. It's not putting me off. They're absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. For those people, for you who are going through the valley of the shadow of death, there has come a great light. Can you imagine John living in that valley or the shadow of death than sitting down and writing in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he carries on, shall we read it? Shall we go? I know time is going. You're being very patient with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him and with him. Without him, nothing had been made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John, who lives in the valley of the shadow of death, sees a light, has journeyed with the light, and the life that is eternal, the life that is God's, it comes from God. It was there in the, when we say the in the beginning, it's not the beginning of time, it's not the beginning of when Jesus starts his ministry, it's in the absolute, absolute, absolute. If there's an absolute beginning, that life was in the absolute. In the absolute, there was life. And that life comes from God. And he gives that to people, and he gives that to you, he gives that to me. And it's a light, it's salvation, it's the manifestation of his glory, of his light, of who he is to people. The manifestation of the life that lights up people's worlds, that has the ability to transform people's worlds, to bring healing to the people who have been hurt, brings hope to the people who have lost all hope, that brings comfort and peace to those people who are grieving. He restores and brings hope, and he brings life. And he turns around to them and says, and he has come, and he's dwelt, and he's lived amongst the people. And those who call in his name, he gives them a right to be called children of God. You are his child. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died and rose again, you are his child. He's not going to leave you walking through the darkness by yourself. He is with you. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. Do not believe the lies that he's abandoned you. Are you going to believe the lies of the enemy? Are you going to believe in some of the stuff that other people tell you? A bit like Job's wife. Why don't you just roll over and die? That's like, great, thanks. Or believe what God has spoken over you. Believe the truth that he speaks through the Bible. Believe that he speaks through his word. Believe that he's spoken into your life. Believe the promises that he has promised over and through his word and into. What are you going to believe? We have a hope that is steadfast and secure, that will guide you through the darkest of days. It doesn't mean the darkest days will stop when you believe in him. It's like, no, but he gets his hands dirty, he rolls up his sleeves, and you know that you are not alone. Whatever you're going through, you are not alone, because he is present. And even though it might be the darkest night, he will bring daylight. He'll bring a new dawn. He'll bring a new dawn. And my last point, in John 20, Mary Magdalene runs to the tomb. And it says, while it's still dark. The light hasn't dawned yet. While it's still dark, it's still dark. And she sees the tomb and it's empty. So she goes back and gets Peter and John. They come and they look in the tomb. And Peter goes in, they marvel, and they go back home. But she stays. And in that moment of staying, when the other disciples have gone, she stays and she's still weeping because the tomb is empty and it's still dark. And then she sees the angels sitting either side of where Jesus' body was. And it's in that moment when the others are gone and she's still in darkness because she's still said, God, where are you? Where are you? She hears a voice in the darkness. Mary. Mary. And while it's still dark and perhaps she can't see or recognise who it is, perhaps because it's still dark, it's not sunrise yet. She doesn't recognise him until he says her name. Jesus didn't wait for the sunrise to come back to life. He came during the night. He can bring life to you in whatever situation or circumstances you are going through. He doesn't get contaminated. He doesn't get offended. He doesn't get, I'm not going to go there. But he is present with you every single moment of every single day. Don't lose hope. And just as God watches over us, remember to give him thanks and to give him praise and to tell people and to share people and to share with those people around you how God has got you through, and give glory back to God. It wasn't me who got through that. It wasn't me who accomplished that. That was God. He sustained me. He got me through. He is the one who gave me hope. He is when everyone abandoned me, he never abandoned me. He got me through it. I had no strength left. My health was given up, but he got me. The pain meds didn't work. And no matter how many pain meds the doctor gave me, I just want to give up. But it's God who keeps me going. All the stuff, the finances, I don't know. Have you ever been, you can just go on, can't you? You can just keep going. Where are my finances going through? I didn't know how my finances were going, but somehow God managed to turn things around. My marriage was going to put, my family was going to put, but somehow I kept praying, I kept seeking, and he turned things around. Keep praying and seeking God. He is always watching. He is always present. He always hears. And what he speaks, he will always accomplish.